Welcome to Mindful Movement with Naya, a podcast about all things mind-body connection. I'm Naya Kalmels, nationally certified Pilates teacher, yoga teacher, integrative movement specialist, and owner of Mindful Movement. This podcast is meant to educate, elevate, and inspire anyone interested in feeling and moving better. I'm so glad that you're here. Let's get started. Hello, and welcome to Mindful Movement with Naya. I'm Naya Kalmels, and today I am so excited to have Marcy Silverberg on our show. Marcy is an orthopedic physical therapist who specializes in pelvic floor physical therapy. Marcy, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, we've had some super exciting and interesting conversations. I feel like I've talked to you about things that aren't normally things that I get to talk with people about, especially in relation to something as personal as the pelvic floor. Mm-hmm. Can you just talk a little bit about how you got into this line of work, how you became a physical therapist, and then why you chose to specialize in pelvic floor physical therapy?
Sure. Going really far back to how I became a physical therapist, I say I was accident prone. I had all these accidents when I was young, and I just always knew what I wanted to do. So I was 12 in physical therapy, and I asked the physical therapist a million questions. And she literally says to me, "You know, Marcy, you're more engaged in your physical therapy than my adult clients are." And I said, "I think I want to do this when I'm older." So, you know, the seed was planted very young. And then I've been a physical therapist now for 22 years. So I didn't start out in pelvic floor physical therapy. I started out doing travel physical therapy, which is what brought me to California from New York. I'm originally from New York. And I did rehab, brain injury rehab for a long time. Yeah. And then that was really awesome for learning about the whole body and the brain. And I love neuroscience. And I took a residency program and then taught in a residency program at that time.
I'm getting chills. I'm so excited about this. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad you like it. It was called PNF, and it was just a way of treating that set a foundation for me of looking at the whole body. So that was wonderful when I did it. And then my life progressed and I had kids and I didn't want to do that work anymore. So I went into orthopedics. And around the time I went into orthopedics, I had my first baby. So that was like things were happening in my personal life, like causing me to rehab my own body from pregnancy and childbirth. So both were happening at the same time. And I was working in orthopedics and my manager said to me, "Marcy, from now on, you're going to treat everyone who's pregnant or just had a baby." And I looked around, I was like, "Why me? Like, it's so specialized." And she says, "Well, you're the only mother, so you know more about it than anybody else," which was true. But at the same time, I didn't feel qualified me enough for all the changes that happen in the body. So that's how it started. And I took a certification called, it's kind of a mouthful, but it's called Pregnancy and Postpartum Certified Exercise Specialist. So I learned all about pregnancy and postpartum, loved it, and started working with clients. And once I got in there and working with clients, I soon realized I need to treat the pelvic floor directly to do this. And I just realized what a great need there was for it. And so many people have these types of issues and there aren't enough people that treat it. And I was just having a lot of fun and having a really great impact on people's lives. Mm-hmm. And I just loved it. Never looked back after that.
I love that. And I didn't realize what diverse training you have and what diverse experience you have as a physical therapist. So that might be a conversation for a whole nother time. let's back up just for a second. Can you just tell people what the pelvic floor is? As a Pilates teacher and integrated movement specialist, I talk a lot about it. And I also find a lot of people don't know much about where that is in their body and how to access it.
I would love to. So I brought my pelvic model with me. So I know that some people will be watching this on YouTube so I can show it. But even if you're just listening and you just feel, like if you're sitting nice and straight and you just feel your sit bones of your pelvis, they're called your ischial tuberosities. And sometimes I'll just rock side to side a little bit and feel those bones. So all the tissues that run between those bones, that's your pelvic floor. So that's what it is from a side to side. So you could feel it. And from a front to back, if you feel your pubic bone and your tailbone in the back and the sling of muscles that goes over there, that's your pelvic floor. Mm-hmm. I like people to just feel things, you know? And so if you just like stop the flow of urine for a moment and let go, and you could feel that, that's the front of your pelvic floor. And I'll show it on the model too for people that are on YouTube. So the pelvic floor has a front. And then if you just look at this back part, so the back, the pelvic floor has a front and a back. So if you like squeeze, like you're stopping passage of gas, like don't want to fart at the party, and then let go, that's the back of your pelvic floor. And sometimes when I ask people to do that, they say to me, I can't tell the difference between the front and the back. It all fires at the same time. And that's totally fine. All the muscles are attached to one another. So it's okay if you can't differentiate the front from the back. But hopefully that's a good explanation.
That's a great explanation. And the pelvic floor is a series of muscles, not just one big sheath of muscle.
Absolutely. It's multiple muscles, and there's three different layers of muscles. So yeah, there's lots of different muscles, but just collectively, I think of it as like the basin. It's like the very bottom of our pelvis, and it's part of our core. It's part of our breathing system. It's just linked to everything. So it's interesting we don't talk about it because it's just so integral to how a human body functions.
You know, I love that you just said it's part of the core, because when I teach, part of what I try to do is educate. And so many people think that their core is their abs. And the core is your breathing diaphragm on the top, the pelvic floor at the bottom, your transverse abdominis, which is your deepest abdominal layer wrapped around your midsection, and then your multifidi muscles up through the spine. That's a big mouthful. It's a lot to teach in one, you know, someone's first Pilates session. So just having more information about what your core is, mm-hmm. and understanding how important the pelvic floor is in engaging your core or moving from your core. Specifically, though, the pelvic floor does a lot of really important functions for us. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about those very human functions that we all deal with?
Absolutely. So a way to think about the pelvic floor is the five S's. This is how we learn in courses about the pelvic floor. So one S means sphincter. So sphincter control. So, you know, stopping the flow of urine or stopping the passage of gas. Those are sphincters. One S means stability. So literally it's the pelvic floor is part of your core and provides stability to our whole canister. Another S is support. So the pelvic floor is at the bottom, and then you have like your organs that live on top of it. So your uterus, your bladder, your rectum. So these muscles provide literally support for all of those structures. The fourth S is sexual function. So the muscles are very involved in sexual function, stronger muscles, stronger orgasm, more pleasure. So they play that role.
Can you just say that part again? Because that's important. I just want to get that, really emphasize that one more time.
Yeah. Pelvic floor muscle strength feels really good with an orgasm. So stronger pelvic floor muscles, you get more intense, pleasurable orgasms.
Is this true for men and women?
Yes.
Just want to be clear.
Okay.
Yes. Moving on.
Okay. Happy to go back and talk more about that later. But the fifth S, and this is interesting, it's sump pump. So there's actually like a lymphatic flow that happens through the pelvic floor. So when our pelvic floor muscles contract, whether just walking and getting good circulation or orgasms, it actually helps pump things through that area, like waste products and things like that. So it's actually part of the lymphatic system.
Okay, so it's pretty important to make sure you have a healthy pelvic floor.
Yes.
How would somebody know if they potentially have a pelvic floor dysfunction or problem?
Yeah, the pelvic floor is one of those things you don't really think about it. Most people don't think about it until they have a problem with it, and then they're thinking about their pelvic floor. So it might be that you're leaking urine, like loss of control of urine, you know, or gas, or you know, bowel movements, things like that. Pain in that area. So people could have pain, you know, in their pelvic girdle anywhere, like pubic bone, or maybe in the muscles or tissues themselves, like tears from childbirth and C-sections and things like that. People will think about it. Sexual issues. So we see people who have pain during intercourse or difficulty with arousal and orgasm. We treat men who have erectile dysfunction, premature ejaculation, things like that could be related to the pelvic floor. And prolapse, heaviness, mm-hmm. yeah, is a common thing that we treat. I might be leaving some things out.
Pretty big topics. Those are big things to be able to actually do something about.
Yeah, it's very distressing when you have a problem in one of those areas, especially if you are having a hard time finding information about it because people aren't talking about it. It could be very distressing.
And you have a checklist that people mm-hmm. can take a look at and mm-hmm. kind of determine if perhaps they might have some pelvic floor dysfunction. Can you just chat a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. There's an amazing checklist called the Kozian Pelvic Floor Dysfunction Test. And it is in my website under the resources tab. So basically it's a really great tool. It's just 10 questions. They're yes, no questions. And if you answer yes to 3 or more of those questions, then it's likely you have pelvic floor dysfunction. So the questions are a lot of the things that I just went through. Do you leak? Do you feel pressure? Do you have pain? Some other things I'm leaving out right now. And it's just a really easy way to know if you might have an issue. It's a great tool for providers, so people that work in medicine but might not know about pelvic floor. It's a way to just give it to someone. You don't even have to go over the answers with them. You don't have to go through it with them. It's just a self-test.
And this is on your business website, pelvicpath.com, under the resources tab?
Correct. You got it.
Beautiful. I will link that in the show notes. I've also been to your site. You have so many resources there for people. So I really encourage people to take a look at the website and also to take the Kozian pelvic dysfunction test, see where you lie within it. I took it myself and we have more to talk about. If somebody wants to do something right now, are there any kind of general things that would be helpful to anyone who wants to maintain a pelvic floor that's healthy, regardless of whether or not they currently are experiencing anything along the lines that might be considered dysfunction?
Yes. So this is the kind of stuff we teach in our workshops that we do. So I love to teach anyone, you know, just about the pelvic floor and where it is. And the pelvic floor moves like an elevator. I think about it like an elevator and then it goes up and then it goes back down. So we talk about servicing the elevator. So I like to have people just like take a deep breath in. The breath work, all the breath work you probably do in your classes is so important because what it does is it lets that pelvic floor relax down to its basement level. It actually has a basement level. So that's mm-hmm. the level that it goes to with like urinating, for example, or bowel movement, like really relaxes. And then it closes and lifts and it goes to like a ground floor, first floor, second floor, third floor. The third floor is like if someone's coughing or sneezing violently, they might need like a sustained contraction, or someone is lifting something really heavy, they might need to go to the third floor. So I like to teach people how to do this, how to just contract it and feel it. This is just general advice. So when we do workshops, we do just like, kind of answering that question, like what can I generally do for my pelvic floor? We also talk about hydration and nutrition and stress reduction and lifestyle habits and all these things that affect the pelvic floor. And that's general. And then what we do when we bring someone in, if someone asks a specific question, the answer is always, it depends. It depends on the result of a PT evaluation. But that's good, just general advice for anybody, I think.
So people who think that they're taking care of their pelvic floor, that they're doing whatever they need to do in order to maintain pelvic health, and they're just doing Kegels, how do you feel about that? Because when I talk to people about their pelvic floor, they're like, oh yeah, I do Kegels. I'll leave my opinion out of it. I want to hear your professional opinion.
Well, I'm laughing because I hear that all the time as well. And I think that people think that pelvic floor health equates with doing Kegels. And it doesn't, actually. A healthy pelvic floor, basically, if you take the Kozian test and you score a 0 and you have no issues, then you have a very healthy, well-functioning pelvic floor. You know, doing Kegels or not doing Kegels is not really a good indicator. Really, it's like, you know, you have dysfunction if you have certain symptoms. And if your pelvic floor is healthy, you probably never really give much thought to your pelvic floor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What are some other myths or misconceptions about pelvic floor
yeah.
in general?
Okay. So I think one we just for sure hit, which is that Kegels are the answer to everything, you know?
It's all we know really is the problem.
Right. And just to talk a little bit more about Kegels, like people could do Kegels and not be doing them correctly. We see people that are doing Kegels and actually they shouldn't have been doing Kegels. Their pelvic floor doesn't go to the basement. Mm-hmm. So they're doing Kegels and they're just hanging out on that fourth floor. So I think just a big misconception is just Kegels, everything Kegels in general. I'll just leave it at that for now. Let's see. Another one that we come up to a lot is just this idea that leaking is normal. I mean, that's probably the most common one we tell people. And women think that, well, I had babies and I'm getting older, so of course I leak, you know? Or they might talk to their girlfriends about it and say like, hey, do you leak? And the girlfriend says, yeah, I leak too. And they kind of joke about it like, I guess this is just getting older.
Okay. Or can I just bring up a little story about this specifically? Because I'm in my mid-40s and like, I don't know, 5 years ago, I was hanging out with some of my girlfriends around the same age. I'm the only one that does not have kids. So I thought that perhaps there was something that I wasn't in on that I didn't know about. Mm-hmm. We were joking, laughing, having a great time. And all of a sudden, my girlfriend just empties her bladder into her jeans and into her boots, like fully just emptied her bladder. Mm-hmm. And the response literally was that, oh my goodness, that happens to me too. And I was mortified because I was not familiar with this being seen as a normal occurrence. And so in more conversation with them, they all were saying, yeah, if we laugh too hard, if we sneeze, if we cough, not necessarily emptying a full bladder, but we might need to change our underwear afterwards. And I didn't know that women thought that this was just a normal part of being a mom or aging. So I really appreciate you addressing this because I, at that point in my life, I really didn't know what to say. I was just listening and started to believe that that was normal. Right. I now understand it's common, which is different than it being normal.
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably the number one thing that we talk to women about. I could just like kind of keep going on. Just like a side note, I mean, I think that after women have a baby, they deserve rehabilitation from the process of growing a baby and birthing a baby, despite even if it's the best pregnancy and the woman feels fantastic and it's an easy birth, it's a lot. It's a major event in the life of a woman. Absolutely. And I think the fact that we don't do rehab just automatically on anyone is part of the issue there. You know, I mean, I think about if someone had a knee replacement surgery and never went to physical therapy, might they be limping 20, 30 years later? Of course, like we understand this, but we don't think about pregnancy the same way. So those muscles just go through so much change and like they deserve a rehabilitation process. But anyway, we were on a different topic, but
that's
how
huge.
I feel about that. Yeah.
So if someone had kids 10 years ago and they're dealing with incontinence, is it too late?
Absolutely not.
Okay, talk on that because I think there's also the belief in physical therapy in general, if I didn't get physical therapy, if I didn't do the work right away, then it's too late. I'm done. It's just going to be this way forever.
Yeah. People think that. And that is not true. That is absolutely not true. The body just is in this state and our bodies are resilient and capable. And when we load things, they can get stronger. So it does not matter how long it's been. And we see that a lot. I mean, we see women that come into us and they're 60 and they say, as we get to know them and we kind of peel the layers back, they say, you know what? This started after I had my baby, but that was 30 years ago. And we say that is still relevant. And they say the same thing, but isn't it too late? It's not too late.
Yeah.
But they experience that not by me saying it, but by the proof in their bodies changing. And then they get to experience that it's not too late.
Yeah. I have to say that in my practice, teaching Pilates and working with people who often have not felt successful in the rehabilitation process through their care providers, I often will end up seeing them 5, 10, 15 years later at various ages. And I love getting to see the change that happens when they have the right coaching and they're doing the right exercises the correct way and they're consistent about it. Because this is why I do what I do, is so that I can get results for my people, no matter where they start, no matter how old they are, no matter what their experience level is. So I love hearing that that is true in your case as well, and specifically for pelvic floor work. So yeah. If you are listening to this or you're watching this, it is not too late if you need help. And now you know where you might be able to get that and some resources just to get started.
Yeah, and I would love to link in your show notes directories for pelvic floor physical therapy. So if anyone is listening and they're not local here in Marin, a lot of people just need to know that this exists and how to get help. And there's a few directories, so people could be anywhere in the country, the world even, and find someone who's trained and how to help them.
Oh, thank you so much for that. We will definitely link that in the show notes. I appreciate that. And your office is in San Rafael, right? Pelvic Path. You work with three other physical therapists who are also trained in pelvic floor.
Yep.
And so it's not just you. You have a lot of people you can serve, but absolutely, if you're in San Rafael, you're not going to be able to help people that are too far away, at least not in person. You had mentioned something about your workshops. Can you just speak on that briefly?
Yeah. We give community workshops. They're free of charge. We have a great time doing it. I think that in this line of work, a big piece of what we just inherently have to do is advocacy and doing things like this and just being really open and talking about things. So we actually have all of our workshops for the rest of 24 and all of 2025 now linked on our website under the resources tab, I believe. So we just have it all mapped out, different topics, but just an opportunity for anyone in the area who wants to learn more to come to meet our team and to chit chat about pelvic floor stuff, get some questions answered. So they're just for advocacy, education, and they're fun.
And we're doing one together in January. I'm super excited about this. Yeah. I don't know what comes first, Pilates or pelvic health, but we're doing both of those with Prosecco.
With Prosecco.
January 30th. It's going to be super fun.
Yes.
We're going to talk about all the things that we don't get to talk about in our regular Pilates classes, movement classes, or on a first intake. And like people can ask whatever questions that come up, right? Everything's fair game.
Absolutely. So yeah, I'm really excited about this workshop. So we're going to change the format. I'm so excited to have you come to the clinic. We've got a big space and whatever order, right? Like say it's pelvic health, Pilates, and Prosecco, because we love alliterations.
Yes, we do. Mindful movement, yes. Pelvic path, yes.
Yeah, we have a shared love of alliterations. But what I'm thinking is that we can talk about pelvic health, but not for as long as we do in our typical workshops. So just like a short intro. And then we can get some movement practice going on that you could lead us through. And I could be there and kind of help people understand how breath is pelvic floor and alignment is pelvic floor and gentle TA engagement is pelvic floor and all the things that are not Kegels, but pelvic floor, feet or pelvic floor, right? We could just kind of make some connections and then we could have some time after to just chat and answer questions on an individual basis and just have fun together.
I love that. Yeah. And sit bubbly, whether it's Prosecco or not.
Right.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to that. If people are interested in getting more one-to-one care and working with your team, what could they expect and what would be the process for them to follow? And how might that be different from going to their general practitioner or OB through their healthcare provider?
So the way it works in our office is first we have everyone that is interested do a discovery visit with us. So if anyone's listening and interested, go to pelvicpath.com, fill out a form that you're interested. And then someone from our team gets on the phone with everyone and we do an intake. So we just want to be sure that it is appropriate for each person to come to pelvic floor physical therapy, that it's you don't need to go to the doctor first, that someone's well matched to come to us. And then we explain the whole process. We like people to know what to expect when they come in. So I'll explain that a little bit. And this has gone over in the call. So then when someone comes for that first session, we have them fill out a pretty extensive intake form. And I've had people say, Marcy, you know, this form's a little long. I don't really feel like filling this out, but it's really important because we take a whole body approach. So what we're really after when we bring someone in for that first session is we want to understand what we think to be the root cause of the issue. And what we have found is that it's truly individual for each person. That's the thing. That's why I kind of laugh at Kegels, because it's kind of a shot in the dark if Kegels are going to help. So if someone says they have leakage, it could be due to constipation. It could be due to back pain. It could be due to a weak pelvic floor, a tight pelvic floor. I mean, it goes on and on. So the purpose of that first intake is for us to come up with like a working hypothesis of what we believe to be the issue. And then we really clearly outline how we're going to go about addressing this in different phases. And that's something I think truly makes us stand out, because I know that when I worked before I started my own practice, the process was not as clear as we make it. And I think that people really want that. They want someone to just lay it all out and being able to put the pieces together for their particular situation. So that's what we do on the first session. In terms of the pelvic floor exam itself, sometimes we do that on the first session, sometimes we don't. We make sure that we have the client's consent, and a lot of times we use our model and explain why we would do this, what it would feel like, and we want to take our time and not have the person feel rushed. And throughout the whole plan of care, when we work with people, we really focus on taking that big goal that someone has. Like, I don't want to leak when I do jumping jacks, for example, and really break it down into smaller, measurable goals so someone can feel that they're making progress. So we always want our clients to feel like they're hitting a goal within the first 2 to 3 sessions. And even we set little goals for within a session. So we really want to keep our clients feeling engaged and seeing that they're progressing along the process. And we really work with them on their particular goals. So if someone needs to jump rope, that's what we're working on. If someone has to run after their toddler, which is any mother needs to run after their toddler, then that's something that's included in the plan of care. So we just individualize things a lot and are just like really, really after understanding the root cause in a very holistic way. Meaning like we will partner with the personal trainers or write notes to the doctors and like from the medical angles too, to help people find the solution that they're looking for.
I so appreciate your holistic approach and also your willingness to work with other providers and practitioners, because it's such an awesome resource for your clients. And it's also not that common. I have worked with several different providers, whether they're physical therapists or chiropractors, and it gives me so much information to be able to help my clients and vice versa.
Yeah.
And it creates basically a care team for the person versus just one person with one type of training from one perspective. But it does also require a lot more work on your part and on behalf of your team. So thank you for being so willing to collaborate and really help your people. That's awesome.
Yeah, we love it, you know, because like, as you know, when you celebrate your patient's successes, right? Like their success is your success. And I think we all realize like we can't just work in a silo with just what we know. Yeah. It's fun and collaborative and ultimately gets the patients the results they're looking for when we have to go outside the box with a lot of cases. And just do what we need.
I'm all about outside the box.
Yeah.
The box is not like one size fits most. It just fits a couple.
Absolutely agree.
You had mentioned individualized programs and really making sure you're customizing your approach for the person in front of you. Mm-hmm. Do you treat people across the gender spectrum at your office?
Yes.
Beautiful. Yeah.
So we treat men, we treat women. I was kind of thinking about my pelvic model that I have here. We name our pelvic models, and mine is named Charlie because, and the pronouns for Charlie are they, them, because we're really interested in growing our care to, you know, working with people who are transgender in time as well. So yeah, our hope is to treat all the genders. The only people we don't serve is children. Mm. So there is pediatric pelvic floor as well. We don't do that.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah.
All right. So all adults.
All adults.
Beautiful.
For sure.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. And when I speak about pelvic floor in my classes, a lot of people assume I'm just talking about women, which is why I asked that question. Because and specifically moms. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to make sure that it's clear that this does help mothers and it helps everyone else that has a pelvic floor.
Anyone who has a pelvic floor. I think that gets confusing for people too. Like, I guess that's another one of the misconceptions, that pelvic floor physical therapy exists for mothers, you know, and a lot of people get into it in that way. Their story is that. That's my story. That's how I got into it when I was a mother. And then I thought, oh, postpartum women need this. oh, 16-year-old girls have leakage and they have never had a baby. And oh, men have a pelvic floor too. And if you think women aren't willing to talk about their pelvic floor, men are even more not willing to talk about it. But when they are ready, they really want help. Yeah. So yes.
Awesome.
Great.
You are such a great resource for our community. Thank you so much for taking time to be on the podcast, to share your knowledge and your passion with us. Did I leave anything out? Is there anything else you'd like to add about pelvic floor health, what you do? I just feel like there's so much we could talk about.
Just to, just to want the best for ourselves, you know, and just for us all to know that if we're struggling with any of the things that we talked about, that I hope that we don't feel so ashamed about it. Like, I'll just share one statistic, which is the amount of women that are affected by pelvic floor dysfunction is 30 to 40%, which is wild, right? Wow. I mean, if you're in a room with 10 women, like, likely three or four of them have an issue. And if you're in a room with 10 men, likely the research shows two of them have some kind of an issue, but it might even be more than that. It might be underreported. Mm-hmm. So just to have compassion with ourselves and others, and just a willingness to get help, because there are people that have ways to help. Like, sometimes doctors offer medications for these kind of issues or surgery, but there's also physical therapy, which is working with your movements and your muscle strength and releasing things that are tight and strengthening things that are weak. And that's an option too.
Yeah. And you're creating a safe space to explore that, which is so important.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
My pleasure.
Yes. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. I have a feeling we'll have more conversations in the future, but thank you for being here today. And I'm really excited about our series coming up, our Pilates Pelvic Health and Prosecco workshop on January 30th. And I will make sure to link a sign up form in the show notes for that as well. I hope that you'll join us if you're local. And if you're not, just don't forget there are lots of resources out there for you. Thank you for providing those, Marcy. We'll make sure to link those in the show notes as well. Take care, everybody, and keep moving mindfully.
That wraps up this episode of Mindful Movement with Naya. If you'd like to contribute to the show, we'd appreciate your support through Buy Me a Coffee, link in show notes. If you enjoy the show, please rate, review, subscribe, and share. It takes less than a minute and it really helps us out. If you'd like more mindful movement resources, check out our website at nayapilates.com.